Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be with you on this beautiful sunny morning. It's great. Shall we just pray before I start to talk? Father, we've talked about our hearts before you. And this morning, Lord, we just ask that you know that we fall short, but we thank you that you make the difference. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how do you get someone's attention? If it's something really important, what do you do? What do you say? Well, this morning, in the reference to Isaiah, it starts off with, ho! That sounds a slightly strange way of calling people to attention. In some versions, it says, hey! Or maybe it's listen. Actually, in the NIV, it says, come. And it's actually inviting us today to a really important thing. It's actually inviting us to come and join for abundant life. Originally, the Isaiah passage was talking to those who were in exile in Babylon and asking them to come back and think about what goodness there was. And this morning, that call to us from God is the same. We're being invited to come and enjoy that abundant life that only God has for us. And he goes on and talks in the opening verses about there being an invitation. And it's an invitation to everyone. Well, actually, it's an invitation to those who are thirsty. So the first question that we have this morning is, are we thirsty? Am I thirsty? Are you thirsty for the good things of God? Do you want the best as well as the basics? In the passage, it's described as water, wine, and milk. Do you hunger and thirst for the good things from God? Verse 2 continues and asks the question, why do you spend your money, maybe also our time and our talents, for that which is not bread? Why do you spend your time on things that aren't fundamental to life, that aren't the most important things in life? And why do you labor for the things that don't satisfy, things that are passing? Instead, we should delight ourselves in the Lord. Now, maybe that's a slightly strange way to start a talk that, if we go on the New Testament passages we have this morning, is talking about sin. It's talking about repentance. It's talking about temptation. Well, the reason I think we start there is because life is all about choices. And God is calling us to make a choice, to make a choice to live for him, to come to him for that abundant life, to receive some of those things that we've sung about this morning, some of those things that God has on offer for us, a life of intimacy, a life of time and time again. We choose to live in ways that reject God's call, that reject his promises, reject his love. And today it's all about choice. It's all about change. God calls us to change, and he wants us to change to follow his path, to do the things that he wants. And we have that choice. Do we follow that, or do we follow our own self and do the things that we want to do, where we decide what we're going to do and how we're going to spend our time? So are we thirsty for God, or do we spend our time working for that that does not satisfy? We have two passages this morning from the New Testament, and I couldn't decide which one to kind of go for. They've both got good things in them, so I'm afraid you got both of them. But they're good passages. They're important passages. And if you look at the Luke one, where it's talking, Jesus is there, and they ask the question about the people who were killed by Pilate. And Jesus responds, asking really, do you think because they suffered, they were worse than the Galileans? And he says, no, I tell you, unless you repent, you'll perish. He talks about the people that were killed when the tower collapsed. And again, Jesus says, do you think they were the worst people in Jerusalem? By no means. Unless you repent, you too will perish. And then when we look at the Corinthians passage from Paul, it's interesting, isn't it? He looks back on the Israelites' journey, and he makes it clear that all of them have benefited from the same goodness of God, the same provision, the same support. They're all guided by the cloud during the day, by the fire at night. They all escaped through the Red Sea from the Egyptians. And they had manna from heaven, didn't they? They had food and water from the rock that was broken open. And yet, Paul goes on to say that despite that, God was not pleased with their behavior. Just a little familiar, perhaps? So why did Paul take us back to think about the Israelites fleeing from captivity? Well, he tells us it's an example. It's a warning. He's saying that he's written it down so that we wouldn't think that sin was unimportant and that the consequences of sin were not real. And I think we should also note that in the Corinthians passage, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to the church at Corinth, those who had already accepted Christ as Savior. And yet Paul still makes the point about sin and talks about the consequences of it, because sin is serious. Sin is a barrier that stops us from accepting Christ in the first place and also provides a barrier between us if we're not careful. Now, before I go back and have a look at the Luke passage, I want to just say a little bit about something else from that Corinthians passage, about temptation. And we know from that, in verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except that that is common to mankind." And we know that Jesus was tempted. We know that he had 40 days of temptation. And then it says, "And then the devil left him until another time." Another time for temptation. And we read in Hebrews that, if we're honest, that sometimes we struggle with temptation, don't we? So why do we find it hard? And why do we sometimes fail? Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Temptation is subtle. And unfortunately, regrettably, the devil is actually quite practiced at finding our individual weaknesses. Those things that are our hot buttons, those things that make us respond. And it's often actually part of a process where we become exposed or allow ourselves to become exposed to situations where temptation is actually hard to resist. But no matter how subtle or attractive that temptation seems, it always spells danger and it can lead us into sin. But it's not all doom and gloom. We can be encouraged. We should take heart that sin can be overcome. We're no longer slaves to sin. We have a way out. Now, because of Jesus, we have a way out. And actually, again, in the end of that verse 13, he reminds us that Jesus confirms that we will not be tempted beyond that that we can bear, and that he will provide a way out for us. Now, that's encouraging, isn't it? But actually, we still need to act. It's not as straightforward and as simple as that. We know that God helps us to deal with temptation and to stop it turning into sin. And we learn how Jesus dealt with that in the battle in the wilderness against the devil, where he relied on the Word of God. We know that the Word of God is critical for us. We have to understand it. We have to hold it in our hearts. We have to know truth and be able to measure good against evil. We have to understand Jesus' promises to help us. And we want the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want the protection of God's armor, supernatural benefits that we have. So knowing the Word of God and being able to apply it is critical. But it's not always actually just about knowing God's Word. There are actually practical things that can help us handle temptation. Firstly, I think we should seek to understand our weaknesses. What is it? Ask God to help you with that, to reveal it to you, and to help you avoid those difficult, unhealthy times and unhealthy circumstances. And be aware that there are times, actually, when we are more vulnerable and susceptible to temptation, when we're tired or lonely or we're angry, perhaps depressed, maybe when we've had a drink or two. We can be more vulnerable at those times. And therefore, we need to think about putting things in place to protect us and stop us from getting into that place. Maybe we need to find someone that we trust and talk to about things that continue to cause us problems. We should certainly pray about them. We should take them before God every day and say to him that our desire is to do better. We don't want to be brought down by those things. We want to live his way. So we ask his help. And we ask him to help us keep us out of those places of danger. I always remember, actually, a story from Rob Parson. He's a brilliant storyteller, isn't he? And he was talking about an example around sexual temptation. And you remember him saying that the time to step away from sexual temptation is not at the bedroom door, being alone for drinks, or going somewhere else that you shouldn't be. I don't know, some of you will know that Billy Graham made a big point of always refusing to travel alone in a car with a female. Temptation comes in many guises, and we can be susceptible to subtle things. The devil is a prowling lion, seeking whom he may devour. So it's a battle, and depending where we're vulnerable, we need to avoid those things and stop that temptation from getting too great. Perhaps we have license. We shouldn't watch things or listen to things. Perhaps we should change the settings on our computers. Think about our motives before we act and say things. Think about why we want to do things. But be aware and ask. The Holy Spirit wants to help us with those things. And if we will turn them over to him and ask for his help, we will cut the risks. We will reduce the times that we fall and fail. So after that little story, little digression, let's go back to that fig tree. Let's go back to the Luke passage. Remember the man who's got the vineyard and he's built the fig tree and there's no fruit on it and he wants to cut it down. And the gardener says, no, let me have some more time. And if it produces fruit, that's great. And if it doesn't, well, we can cut it down then. And this reminds us, I think, that the consequences of sin are serious. But it also reminds us that as Christians, we're different now. And that expected fruit that they were looking for on the fig tree perhaps raises with us the thought of the fruit of the Spirit. God has given us all that we need to grow and flourish. And in that sense, all we need for the fruit of the Spirit within us to grow and develop. We have all that we need. But sometimes we don't always live according to his standards. And that potential fruit that we have doesn't actually become actual and real fruit. Fruit that can be seen and is provided for the benefit of others. Now, the good news once again is that God is patient. He's slow to anger and abounding in love, isn't he? And he gives us more time and he gives us opportunities. But he still has expectations of us. He wants us to be more like his son. He wants us seeds of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're within us. But he wants them to grow and to develop into fruit. Now, we know things get in the way, don't we? We know it's easy to be too busy or to decide we're going to do something different and not hear what God wants to say to us. But God wants us to be abundant. He wants that hundredfold increase that we read about in the parable of the seeds. And there's a sense, actually, that time is running out. Running out to show Christ's love in our lives and running out to show the fruit of the Spirit for the benefit of others, of the Holy Spirit living within us. So if you've never made that commitment to Christ, then now is the time. You never know how long you'll have to make that commitment. And without responding to God's love, God's call on our lives, those sins remain on us and in us. And we get separated from the abundance of God. And that's not right. That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to receive his forgiveness and to enjoy the abundant life that he has. Now, I'm sure many of you know that the word repentance actually means to turn, to change direction. And in this context, we're talking about turning away from our sins and saying that we don't want to do that anymore. We've had enough of that. We want God. We want God's way. And we want the benefit of his forgiveness. When we talk about forgiveness, we often concentrate on the wrong things that we've done, and we ask forgiveness for those. And that's right. It's good to do that. But actually, it can also be doing. If you've already made a commitment to Christ, to give our lives to him and ask that we would live for him, then we can't just forget about sin. Sin is serious, and forgiveness is incredibly important to us. If you remember the reason that Jesus went to the cross, it was to restore a relationship with God. And if we walk away from that, if we don't continue to repent, then that relationship is broken, and we haven't got that direct line that we want. We need to repent, and we need to ask God to help us with that relationship. But today we also realize that God wants us to be fruitful. And all the time that we're not developing or demonstrating that fruit of love and peace, etc., we're operating below God's plan for us. We're operating. He wants to change our lives, and he wants through us to change the lives of our families, of our friends, of this church, of those people we come into contact with. But he wants to do it partly through us. And I think that sometimes God even has to turn to others to do things that he wanted us to do. By not obeying God, we miss out the opportunity to show the fruit in our lives, we miss out the opportunity to bless others, and maybe we actually miss out a bit on some of our heavenly reward that we have there. I remember Clive Calver years ago now at Spring Harvest, and he talked about a Christian group who needed a substantial amount of money to undertake a project that he believed God wanted them to do, that they believed God wanted them to do. But the money was just not forthcoming. And it wasn't until the 11th hour that literally they found the money in a waste bin, thousands of pounds in a waste bin. And you think, wow, God's amazing, isn't he? How could he just do that? But actually it was what Clive Calver said after that that made me think. God is amazing, and his will not be thwarted. But Clive said, I wonder why it came to that. God loves us. He loves his children. He wants to use us to do all sorts of good things. And Clive suggested that maybe someone, or maybe several people, had not responded to God's call. And if you like, God had to go onto the emergency plan and put this thing in the waste, get someone to put this thing in the waste bin. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but I believe that it is possible for us to miss what God has for us, not in terms of salvation, I'm not saying that, but actually some of the blessings that he wants to give us, some of the enjoyment, the excitement, that he's taking time to do things that we think God might want us to do. We can miss out. Now, as I've said before, praise God, he doesn't give up on us. Thank goodness he doesn't. He continues to prompt us and pursue us. He doesn't want us to miss out, but he does want to use us. So, time is running out for all of us. The clock hands is only moving one way. And now is the time. Now is the time to turn to Christ, to ask for his forgiveness, for ask for him to turn things around for us. We want him to be in charge of our lives. And if we've done that, that's great. But we still need to ask God, because now is the time for that fruit to grow. Now is the time for us. God is patient, and he doesn't forget about us. He does continue to tend us and to dig round our soil and make it good and make it productive. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is strong when we're weak. He helps us to do things. But we have to turn to God. We have to look and see what he's saying to us. And I think God is saying to us, turn to me while you can. Seek after me. Seek after my will. Come and be fruitful. And then enjoy the abundant life that he has for us. Now, I started with a question. Are we thirsty? Are we thirsty for God? So let me finish with a question. What is God asking you to change this Lent? What is he asking you to do differently? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you are incredibly patient. We thank you that your love is so amazing that you don't want any of us to miss out on the goodness and of the abundance of your life today, and to turn to you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.